Dr. Rod Berger is sitting next to Mark Rogers. Mark is a secondary math teacher with Meridian School in Round Rock, Texas, for 140 students, and an online instructor of finance and algebra at the online school Acelus for several thousand other students. Those of you that are believers and big followers of YouTube may know him because of his famed videos. He's got, I think, what did I see, Mark? Over 100,000 people have gone and viewed your YouTube page. But it's nice to be sitting down with you. I know that you and I participated in an event at South by Southwest called Launch EDU and the Educator Insights Program. And I thought it would be really valuable for the audience to be able to talk with and have a conversation with an educator who has a very different background. I know you started as an investment banker with Morgan Stanley, which of course then just made sense you would come into education.
That's right. That's the logical next step.
That's a logical next step. But you have a very interesting background. In a day and age where we worry about, one, losing teacher talent and then cultivating the next generation, I want to have a conversation with you about that and how you have experienced the messaging and the narrative in education and how that either sort of brought you to the cause of teaching, but also gave you sort of this cautionary tale as to maybe what it might be or what it might not be. So tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a teacher.
Sure. So I thrive on energy. I'm a very energetic person, and so the students, they know that. And the worst thing I could ever see in a classroom is somebody bored. So I see somebody, but that's the best way to get Mr. Rogers at your desk, like just doing something crazy to make you want to learn. And that desire and thirst for wanting to learn is the most one of the most special things you can see as a teacher. And so going backward and graduating from the University of Texas with my finance degree, moving to London to go work at this dream job, I thought that I had it, and I get to an environment that has energy, but it was a lot more on the negative side, and that brought me down. Frankly, it was a tough environment to work in. The Great Recession, had just begun, and so people were getting laid off left and right next to me, and so it was a tough place to begin your career, and then all of a sudden I see the sunshine. In 2009, I go to a buddy's wedding, and I meet this wonderful girl. Her name is Emily, and I ask her, "Well, what do you do?" And she said, "Oh, I'm a third grade teacher." I said, "Oh, wow! I was thinking about becoming a teacher when I was 40. You know, like after I do my other career." And she said, "Oh, you know, that's fine, but I do this now, and I really love it, and I change kids' lives." And that lovely young lady, Emily, became my wife. And that was the first step in me realizing that life is really too short to wait. So I got my teaching certification 3 months after meeting her and hopped into the classroom and haven't looked back since. It's a dream. Every day to wake up and see these kids and change their lives and receive their energy in kind. I mean, it's just, it's the greatest transaction one could have, to bring us back to the investment banking terms.
Yeah. How do we, okay, so if, you know, there's only one Emily, right? And I can just see it in your face, if the audience could see us, just obviously the impact for you and your life. But how can we, what lessons can we take from that experience of being told sort of this story about, from another individual, just another human being, about what they were doing as a professional and the impact that they were having and what that really did for their spirit, if you will. How can we sort of take that and build that into some sort of, I don't even want to use the word model, but how do we find the other Mark Rogers that are in disciplines that we might not ever think about could be transitioned into teaching, but have a thirst to be able to provide and to give back and to contribute in a way that you are doing? How do we find the other Mark Rogers out there without hoping that there's another Emily out there down the road? Because I don't think she's going anywhere.
Right, yeah. Well, I think the underlying story there is that it was a celebration. And a celebration of education, a celebration of pedagogy, and a celebration of the profession. And to be quite frank with you, that was a very surprising conversation I had with her. I there are a lot of well-publicized negatives that come with teaching, and that people talk about teachers, and, you know, I had this teacher, and this teacher was really bad, and I think that when she celebrated the fact that she was a teacher and that she was proud to be a teacher, it really changed my mindset on education, and I realized that, you know, like just about every other profession in the world, it's a bell curve. You have a lot of people that are average in the middle, and then you have outliers on either side. But what that means is that, you know, you've got a lot of people who are doing the right thing and doing it the right way, and we need to celebrate that a little bit more. So films that come out like Teach and YouTube that allows teachers to show their creative skills, all of a sudden we are getting celebrations of great teaching. And I think that's the inspiration that people going into this profession can take. They can say, wow, this is amazing. I want to be a part of this profession. It's exciting.
Let's talk a little bit about the relationship. If we sort of key on that theme of relationships that obviously brought you here, let's talk about the relationship between a teacher and an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is one that isn't often documented, mm-hmm. other than these sort of fragmented conversations when you get either one of those parties in a room and you talk about it. And they often share the same frustrations, mm-hmm. and they both have the same goals of wanting to be able to interact. So there's part of me that says, a Mark Rogers in my school could be intimidating to me as an administrator if I'm not the right kind of administrator. The other side of me says, I could embrace someone with your energy. Tell me a little bit about that experience between you and an administrator and what we can take from that in that relationship.
Right. I think that you keyed on something especially interesting, because I've experienced it both ways, where you have an administrator that really celebrates what you're doing and pushes you to be better and yields a lot of control in order for you to express your creativity. And then I've had it the other way, where it's kind of, you know, we have a system here and you need to fit into the system, and then you have to operate within the confines of that system. And I think with just about everything else, it's an interpersonal relationship that differs person to person. As an administrator, what I think would be the best strategy to be have a personal relationship with each of your teachers. Tell them about your kids. Tell them about, you know, what you did over the weekend, and grow that dialogue so that you can really begin to understand who they are as people and then help them grow. I did not become the teacher I am today overnight. It took me 5 years to get here because this is my fifth year teaching. And next year, I'll be better than I am today. And it's with the help of my supportive administrators that I am able to continue to grow. That's the message I would send to.
Is there a little bit of irony, Mark, that the way you were describing that relationship and some of those challenges sounded eerily like the challenges that some students have with their teachers in their classrooms? Get to know me on a personal level so that I'm invested, so that I want to do my homework, communicate with you, participate. I mean, is that just, and it's sort of, you know, like pulling out Shakespeare. I mean, there's just something about that that's just very poetic. Tell me about that exchange, because I just can't help but think, if we can't get it right between the adults, what message are we sending the children, right? And how can we use that as sort of our own lab to test that out, see what it's like to be vulnerable in those exchanges and to know that we can lean on other people and participate in a new way?
Sure. The words that just came out of my mouth gave me some cognitive dissonance, to be frank with you, because I'm saying this, and then you immediately say, oh, well, let's correlate that with the teacher relationship to the kids, and it's absolutely right. And you talk about it, you can correlate that to a lot of different relationships. And I think at the end of the day, you have to spend your time, your very limited resources, on what matters most. And we spend our time doing a lot of things.
You put that very nicely.
And within the school day, you have to concentrate on what matters most. And I would like to think that I spend a significant amount of time and heavy investment to get to know my students so that they know that I care about them, and I would do anything to see them get better. I would do anything for them. And while I say that, in the same breath, I know I could do more. And you saying that challenges me to want to do more.
Let's talk about something that we don't often want to talk about because it's a little bit scary in the context of experiencing you and your energy. I will definitely have a follow-up, but I would love to know, how do you think about and really sort of just come to grips with the concept of burnout for you? Because what you bring and the energy you've brought in the first 5 years, you could correlate to a student who's passionate, who wants to be involved, who runs up against the system, right? Sort of that, just that bigger than life, you know, experience we have with public education, right? How do you avoid burnout, and how do you maintain, or do you have some sort of system of checking in with yourself so that that energy you have now will be there in spades in seven years from now when we sit down?
Right. The snide comments that I heard about teaching before becoming a teacher about, you got 3 months off per year, I understand that now. Because you can't bring energy, enthusiasm, care, love to your class, you know, in the normal, in terms of working days. I think we have like 280 something working days. You know, I think that would invite some type of burnout. And so, the fact that teaching is structured around breaks, it's very helpful for students. It's especially helpful for teachers. We are able to take a step back and perhaps pursue other things that we are interested in, and that actually helps keep the embers hot. The other thing that I do is, it's tough for me because I hate being away from my students. It's one of those things where you think that you could be the best thing that's happening in their lives, so if you're going to take a day off, it's almost... It's just so hard for me to do. But coming to conferences like South by Southwest EDU, every year it re-energizes me, and it gives me new, fresh ideas to implement in the classroom so that my students are still excited. So was I up until 1 a.m. helping my substitute teacher prepare for today's lessons with my students so they would have something important and authentic to do today? Absolutely. But I had to make some sacrifice so that I could be here and learn. As a teacher, you have to be so concerned with your professional development in order to keep those embers hot.
Do you find that conversation either takes part within teacher groups and or as a part of the leadership within a school, the administrators on self-care? Or is that just something that we don't talk about and we just hope that Mark Rogers and his colleagues do?
I think it's...
And I say that as a parent, too, because it's sort of like you want your pilot rested.
Right?
I want my teacher to be rested. I want them to feel like they've got the support systems in place so that they can be the best when my child's in front of them. Otherwise, it goes to the negative connotation of babysitting, daycare, and these other things that people don't want to talk about. So are those conversations being had?
Yes. I would say at my school, there's a heavy emphasis on professional development and teacher care. One thing they do... is at my school, this is just a very anecdotal case, is once a month, the parents will switch, every month, but they'll cook dinner for, or excuse me, cook lunch for the teachers. And it's pretty unique, and you just think about, well, you know, once a month I can go to school and somebody's going to take care of me. And I feel like, although that's unique at my school in terms of just like the idiosyncratic lunch thing, I think that teachers are by and large taken care of at schools. At the school I was at before the one I am now, I was at Westwood High School in Austin. They took great care of the teachers. I mean, like Thanksgiving, every teacher got a pie or a cake or something like that. So I feel like they're, you know, Teacher Appreciation Week. I feel like teachers are celebrated in the U.S. education system. I think that the concept of professional development and continually getting better could be emphasized a little more.
Okay. I wish I would have asked this earlier, but let's go ahead and we'll go down this path just one more time, because I think we have a lot of administrators that listen, and I'd like, one of the questions I get from them is, it's very similar to running a business, is how much information do you share with employees, what do they want to know, and how do you balance that between not scaring them, but sort of giving them too much when they already have a lot on their plate. So as a teacher, what kinds of information do you want, in a best case scenario, from your leadership at the school level and maybe even the district level, that maybe we don't think about? Or, you know, because it goes two different ways. If you get someone who's sort of about teaching, they've been there a long time, the complaint is we never get told what's going on, right? There's the one in the back saying, you know, this is all bad. Mm-hmm. But I think there's probably a happy middle. So what kinds of information do you look for from school-based leaders?
It goes back to the time thing. We spend our time doing a lot of things. Let's concentrate on what has the greatest impact. And for me, spreading knowledge and ability to attend professional development opportunities, I mean, that is, for me, number one. I want to hear from my administrator, there's a conference here or there's a workshop there, and I want to send you, and you need to let me know what I can do to make that happen. Because there you meet like-minded educators, and you learn, and you get better. I want to know that. First and foremost. Second of all, I think something that is usually on an administrator's mind is attendance. That's how schools get paid. So I want to help the administrator help me do a better job. And I think when you have more personalized conversations with students and figure out what's going on at home, hey, what's keeping you from being in class? That would be the second thing that I would like to know. If a student's not in the classroom, it's really tough for them to learn. And the harder times that the family's going through, the harder it is for that student to recapture that knowledge gap that they created by missing school. So that's something where I think educators and administrators can work together on is helping themselves help the student get to school.
Let's close with this, Mark. This is when I wish that we would be doing this on camera, because the emotion that comes from you is quite astounding, and it really says a lot about the passion that educators have. But let's talk about men in education. You know, it's obvious we're two men here that have different experiences in education and contribute in different ways. There aren't enough men, in my estimation, in education. And I don't know if we're not doing a very good job of selling it, you know, sort of as a profession. Talk to me about two things. One, the responsibility you feel on a daily basis, because I'm going to make a bet that you do feel a sense of responsibility as a male in front of these students, because we all know that we don't have to regurgitate the stats on kids who don't have adult males, you know, dads or others that are in their lives and the impact on them throughout their lifetime, but what kind of responsibility do you feel on a daily basis to be a good male role model, and what is the impact of your presence being a male on the staff if you were not to be humble, as I know that'll be a challenge for you because you're very humble in your approach, because that to me changes the dynamic of a building, of a school community, when you have engaging men that are a part of it, because so many experiences, and I hate to say it, is that you have so few men, and then even their participation as teachers, at least in my personal experiences, were not that of a Mark Rogers. And we know some of those stereotypes, fair or unfair. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, to your first point, I would not be the person I am today had I not been a male teacher. And that sounds really funny because it's so obvious sounding, but let me explain that a little bit. I feel like people can change, and I think I'm a much better person today than when I was working at Morgan Stanley. And part of that is because I realize that when students come into my classroom, the males especially, there's a small subset, I would say, at my school, about five maybe 10% of them that don't have active male role models. And I have to be the best role model that they could possibly have. And that responsibility I take very seriously. And those small changes that I've made over the last 5 years have made me an entirely new, better Mark Rogers than I was 5 years ago. And so when I can see their eyes light up, you know, so I'm saying, like, you know, I'm happy to see you. And helping them work through their problems and then taking time to invest in what they're interested in later, that that is something I take very seriously. And it's made me a better person, and it's improved their lives, for sure. And then in terms of males and education, I think that the dynamic is changing. I really do. I can't remember what the stat is. So maybe like 40% of teachers are retiring in the next 10 years or so, the baby boomer teaching generation. And I just see more males in the classroom. And I've seen a lot of energy and enthusiasm. And, it's just exciting to know that, in terms of gender equality globally, I just see this shift where, there's more women entering into the boardroom of corporations, and there's more men entering into the education system. I just really love what I'm seeing globally. And every day it gets a little bit better. We have lots of work to do, especially on the former. But as far as the latter goes, I'm just excited that, I've male friends who are providing more mentorship opportunities for these same students that I mentioned earlier.
Keep up the good work, Mark.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. We all want to be a part of that. You got to check out his YouTube and the triangle. That is just fantastic. It's very, very enjoyable. Once again, we want to thank Mark Rogers of Round Rock, Texas. I'm Dr. Rod Berger.